new year. Amen. Yay! We already have. It's a good year, 2019. Right. Amen. God's going to move. Amen. Right. I'm excited about this year. Amen. And I hope you are too.
Yes.
Amen. But I want to continue to talk about this topic. Amen. And God put this word in my heart. I want to share it with you. We're going to be looking at the life of John the Baptist. Amen. John the Baptist. On Friday, we had a great time. Amen. I shared on the life of Peter. Amen. And this morning, I want to share on the life of John the Baptist. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Why don't you read that with me? He must increase, but I must decrease. Let's read it one more time. He must increase, but I must decrease. Just one more time. He must increase, but I must decrease. Father, bless the reading of your word, anointed to our hearts here this morning. God, we thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful presence, and we pray that you would just move and have your way through the message. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody says,
amen.
Amen. You may be seated. So last week, we learned how we must say goodbye this year to some old ways. You know, we got to say goodbye to some of them old ways.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. And hello to the new things God has for us in 2019. How many want to say hello to those new things God has for us in 2019?
Right.
This morning, I want to look at the life of John the Baptist, because he is like one of those characters in the Bible that exemplify hello, goodbye. I mean, this guy just kind of pops into the scene and then pops back out of the scene.
Yeah.
But yet, he made a powerful impact while he was on the scene.
Right.
How many want to make an impact for God?
Amen.
He jumps into the scene out of nowhere after a period of God being silent for 300 years. Between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the book of Malachi in the Old Testament, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and then the first book of the New Testament, Matthew, or even the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What happened between those years? Well, theologians and Bible teachers say that the period between Malachi and the Gospels was a period of about 300 years. And theologians and Bible teachers, they say and they call those 300 years the years of silence. Because during those years, there was no revelation from God. There was no new revelation, or there was no new prophecy. There was not a prophet that stood out during those 300 years. And so they call it the years of silence.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Like a dash between the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, John the Baptist's voice thunders from the heart of God, and the Bible describes it as a voice crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight paths for him." In the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 3, it describes that. So after a period of silence, all of a sudden, God thunders from heaven through this man called John the Baptist.
Come on now.
Have you ever been through a season where it seems like God is silent?
Come on now.
People here in the New Testament and the Gospels, they have went through 300 years of that. Where they haven't heard God. I pray that this morning that you hear God.
Amen.
I pray that this morning that, listen, you hear the voice behind the voice.
Right.
I pray that this morning that you understand that God has a word for you here this morning.
Yeah.
God has a word for your year. God has a word for 2019, for your life.
Man.
God ain't silent.
Come on.
God is speaking here this morning.
Yeah.
But in this time, there were years where the word of the Lord was rare.
Yeah, come on now.
And all of a sudden, John the Baptist comes onto the scene. Mark 1:3 says it was a voice crying out in the wilderness. His ministry, John the Baptist's ministry, explodes with success immediately. His ministry takes off, it seems like, immediately, like wildfire. Many people travel far and wide to hear John the Baptist teach and preach in the wilderness and be baptized by him. People were hungry to hear the word of God from him. People were hungry for the word of God because for 300 years they fasted from the word of God.
Wow.
Like some people today, they don't read the word of God. You should be fasting from food, but you're fasting from the word of God.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, the voice of God thunders from heaven. And all of a sudden, his ministry begins to explode. He was growing spiritually as John the Baptist lived a fasted life of eating just locusts and honey. Some can't handle the Daniel fast. But thank God we ain't doing the John the Baptist fast. See, John, after being prepared all his life for his purpose, scholars and Bible theologians, all of them mostly agree that John was a young man of no more than 30 to 32 years old when his ministry exploded. He was a young man. He was about the same age as our Savior. Jesus didn't start the ministry till he was 30 years old.
Right.
And then in 3.5 years, they crucified him. They murdered him. John the Baptist was about the same age as Jesus. He was a little older than Jesus. Maybe about a year, maybe about 10 months older than Jesus.
Yeah.
And so John the Baptist was about 30 to 32 years old when he started his ministry. And not only that, but he also was murdered at an early age for preaching the word of God.
Yeah.
But his ministry exploded. See, after the many years of prayer, fasting, and study of the scriptures, and preparation of discipleship from his parents, he could finally say hello to his destiny, to his calling, and to his purpose. This year, it's some of you here that are here today. It's some of your years to say hello to what God has been preparing for you all your life. I say God has been preparing you all your life for this year. For some of you, this year your ministry is going to explode. This year your calling is going to take off. This year is your year to answer the call of God and see God do great and mighty things in and through your life. But you may say, I've been a mess up all my life, Pastor. It's all right. Tell your neighbor, it's all right. Because God will turn your mess into a message.
Right.
You may say, I've made mistakes. But God is going to take your mistakes and turn them around. And what the enemy was going to use to destroy you, God is going to use to employ you. You ain't hearing me this morning. I used to be a drug addict, but now I'm preaching and reaching drug addicts. I used to sell dope, but now I'm preaching hope. Listen, what the enemy meant to destroy you, God is going to use to employ you. Somebody say amen. In 2019, get ready to say hello to your destiny, your calling, your whole purpose of being.
Yes, amen.
How many want that for yourself in 2019? Come on, wave at me if that's what you want in 2019. If you want that, I'm here to tell you, you must be prepared. You must be prepared for it. See, John was ready when destiny came a knocking. Are you going to be ready when destiny comes a knocking? Are you going to be ready when your calling comes a knocking? I'm here to tell you that you've been called by God. I'm here to tell you that, listen, God doesn't make trash. I'm here to tell you that, listen, you ain't a nobody in the things of God. God has called you. I know some of you feel like, no, that's not me. That's for you, Pastor. And that's for Pastor Josh. And that's for Brother Irvin. And that's for the leadership. But listen, I'm here to tell you that God has a calling for your life. Listen, the Bible says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. Do you love him here this morning? Do you love God or do you not love God? If you love God, make a joyful noise. If you love God, shout amen. I'm here to tell you that if you love him, then God has prepared something for you. The Bible says that he prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. praying to me. You ain't hearing me this morning. Let me preach here this morning. God has a special plan, and he has a special purpose for your life. But some of us are stuck on, you don't want, you know, some of us are stuck in that old mentality. Some of us are stuck in our old ways, in our old thinking. It'll never be me. God will never use me. Something good can never happen to me. That's what Magali said. But she's getting ready to board a plane and fly across the world, and God is going to use her in a mighty way. That's what Jose said. But he's fulfilling his purpose right now. He's going me into the uttermost parts of the world and preaching the gospel. He was a young man. She was a young woman. But God is using them mightily. That's what I used to say. But look what God has done in my life. If God did it for me, he'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. He does not play favoritism, my friend. Even though I like to believe sometimes I'm his favorite. Come on. It's all right. I know God loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen.
But you got to be prepared.
That's good.
The calling comes a knocking.
Yes.
This is why you come to church.
Yes.
This is why you get involved in life group.
Yes.
This is why you get plugged into ministry.
Yes.
This is why you give your first fruits.
Right.
This is why you pay tithes.
Amen.
This is why you go to discipleships.
Yes.
This is why you go to the women's convention.
Yes.
That's why you're going to go to the Mighty Men of Valor.
Yes.
That's why you're going to go to the UTC.
Yes.
Young people, the gang. That's why you go to gang convention.
Yes.
Because you got to be prepared.
Yes. Amen.
John the Baptist was prepared. He was prepared.
That's right.
There's three ways I want to share with you how he was prepared for his destiny. The first thing is that he discovered his purpose. He was prepared because he had discovered his purpose in life. Have you discovered your purpose? See, when you haven't discovered your purpose, you'll be doing some other purpose.
Come on, preach it.
Huh? You'll be selling milk. Come on, somebody.
Wow.
You'll be delivering mail. You'll be doing something. When you haven't discovered your purpose, you'll be at that 9-to-5, frustrated.
Defeated.
Now, some of you, man, that's your purpose. You know, that's okay. You're called to be a pillar, huh? Oh, but there's some of you, but you've been called to for a greater purpose.
Amen.
And you're frustrated where you're at. You get frustrated where you're at. I'm here to tell you because that's not where God called you. God called you to something greater. God called you to a higher calling. God called you to build his kingdom and to be a kingdom builder, not just financially, but in the ministry. God has called you not to build houses, but to build broken people. God has called you not to fix cars, but to fix souls. And fix people. God has called you not to work in a computer all day in front of a computer, but God has called you to put together messages for his honor and his glory. See, John the Baptist discovered his purpose. In John chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, you could turn there, they could put it on the screen. It says this: "And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi," that means teacher, he that was with thee beyond the Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same man baptizes, and all the men go to him." In other words, he was saying, listen, everybody's going to him now to be baptized. But listen to what he says. John answered and said, "A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ." He knew his purpose. "But that I am sent before him." Come on, somebody. See, you got to know your purpose. See, John the Baptist knew his purpose. He knew his place in the kingdom of God. Come on now. When you know your place and your purpose in the kingdom of God, my friend, it will be easier for you to fulfill your purpose. And he knew that his purpose was not to be the Messiah, but his purpose was to prepare the way of the Lord.
Yes.
See, John, let me finish reading that scripture. He says, "Ye yourselves bear witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am one sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. See, John, through much prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, discovered his most important task of preparing a way for the Lord. John discovered that his task was to prepare the way for the Lord. And how did he discover that? He discovered that through seeking God.
Yeah.
You want to discover your purpose? You better get seeking God.
Amen.
If you want to discover your purpose, you better learn how to pray. You better learn how to yada with dada. Come on, somebody. You better learn. Come on, you better learn how to spend some time in prayer. This is why we open up the church early for prayer. Every service and on Tuesdays and on Thursdays and when we have afterglows, why we have prayer meetings, because we want to build a people. We just don't want to tell you to pray. We want to teach you to pray. Hello, somebody. The disciples came up to Jesus and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. Pray. Come on, somebody. Yeah. We need to be in the school of prayer, my friend. And the best way to teach somebody how to pray is the same way you teach somebody how to swim. Hello, somebody. You just pick them up and throw them in the swimming pool. Hello, somebody. It's sink or swim, baby. But listen, when you come to a prayer meeting, you may not know. You may trip out on everybody speaking in tongues and at the altar. Oh, my friend, but all of a sudden you'll feel something. All of a sudden you're drawn to the altar. All of a sudden, as you stay in the presence of God, as you stay in the presence of prayer, all of a sudden you begin to learn to pray. Prayer rubs off on you. Prayer begins to become contagious on you. And all of a sudden you get raised up to be a mighty prayer warrior. Some of you called to be intercessors. Some of you called to be intercessors. You're called to stand in the gap for your pastor. You're called to stand in the gap for your church. You're called to stand and intercede for the man of God, for the woman. You're called to pray for your lost loved ones, your lost friends and your lost family. Pray. Listen, we're going to win the city. We're going to win the city through prayer on our knees, my friends. Prayer moves mountains. Some people are called. See, John, he learned to seek the Lord. It's through seeking the Lord that he discovered his purpose to prepare the way of the Lord. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher, man. I just wanted to be saved. I just wanted God to change me. I messed up my life. I messed up my children. I messed up the relationships I was in. I messed up my family. I just wanted to be changed. Come on, somebody. I was tired of being on probation. I was tired of getting locked up. I was tired of running from the 5-0. I was tired of always packing a pistol. I was tired of selling dope. Come on, somebody. I was tired. I got tired of that same old madness. Come on now. I just wanted to change. I said, God, just change my life, God. Just change me, God. Whatever you got to do, just change me. And I kind of threw a prayer and said, well, God, if you change me, then I'll serve you. And I didn't even know what I was talking about. I didn't know that this was what God had planned. Come on, somebody. Because if I knew, maybe I wouldn't have prayed it.
Come on now.
Oh, but how many know when you surrender to God?
Yes.
Oh, you been, come on, somebody. How many know when you pray?
Yes.
But I don't regret it. Come on, somebody. Because this is the best thing that's ever happened to me. Come on. It's the best thing that ever happened to my children. It's the best thing that ever happened to my family. I'm glad that God raised me up. I didn't grow up wanting to be a pastor. I grew up wanting to be the Scarface of Oak Cliff.
Come on now.
But God said, I got another plan for you.
That's right. Amen.
But that plan came as I sought the Lord.
Come on. That's right.
As I sought the Lord.
Amen.
And I still had to go to prison.
Come on.
But that didn't stop me from seeking the Lord.
That's right. Amen.
I sought the Lord for two years in prison. For my whole sentence, I was in there praying, reading the Bible.
Come on.
Huh? Preaching to gang members. Huh? They tried to recruit me, and I tried to recruit them.
Come on.
Hey, you want to join my gang, Tango Blast? I said, you want to join my gang, Jesus Christ?
Come on. Amen.
I tell them straight up. They look at me all crazy. Huh? I was preaching Jesus, man.
Amen.
But God was preparing me. I preached my first message in jail.
Come on now, amen.
I preached my first message. And it was like six men sitting on one little bunk bed.
Hello.
And one little, you know, like 5x5 cell. Huh? He said, we're going to have Bible study tonight. All right, I'll go. We want you to preach. What? But I wanted to have Bible study. I said, well, okay. preached my first message there.
Amen.
I didn't know I was going to be a preacher the rest of my life.
Come on now.
I didn't desire that.
Come on.
Oh, but when you see God.
Yes.
When you see God, and I'm not ashamed of it, my friend. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, where it is the power of God unto salvation, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile.
Come on.
Now. See, John discovered his purpose because he sought the Lord. See, it's only through seeking God that you find yourself. If a man never discovers God, he will always live in obscurity, not sure of his reason for being or living. See, this is why we have so much suicide, because people have not discovered their purpose, their reason for living. When I talk of discovering your purpose, I don't mean choosing your own path, but allowing God to choose the path for you. And this can only happen as we live fully surrendered lives to Jesus. See, John the Baptist discovered his purpose because he sought the Lord.
Yeah.
You want to discover? I'm telling you, God has something better for you.
Amen.
God, yeah. I know you have something in your hand. Some of you have something in your hand. You have a boyfriend in your hand.
Come on.
You have a drug in your hand.
Come on, come on.
Some of you have a job in your hand.
Come on, come on.
I know something good, but you know, God is looking at that. And when God looks at that, he says, I got something so much better in my hand.
That's right, amen.
I got something so much better in my hand.
Come on.
Huh? And listen, God is trying to give it to you, but you first got to discover that purpose. You got to see what God is trying to put in your hand. You got to see that he has plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future.
Yes, amen.
Secondly, the way he was prepared is not only did he know his purpose. See, remember when John the Baptist is calling, came knocking, he had discovered his purpose. But then secondly, he was prepared because he had developed his calling. He had developed his calling. Is there anybody here developing their calling?
Yes.
How did he do this? Through living a separated life. Through living a separate, listen, we're separating ourselves for these next, you know, it's been 21 days, but now it's 16 days. Hello again.
Hello.
We've been separating ourselves. Huh? We're not eating what everybody else is eating. Come on, everybody else is eating McDonald's, Burger King. Come on now. Church's chicken. Amen. Lisa's chicken, my favorite. Amen. Joy Luck. Amen. I know all the spots around here. Amen. Come on now. I like to eat. Amen. But listen, we're separating ourselves.
Amen.
Huh? We ended not, and when our after these 16 days, listen, we're still going to be separated.
Yes. Yes.
Because why? While everybody else is asleep on Sunday morning, come on now.
Oh,
huh? While everybody else is asleep on Sunday morning, we're in the house of God.
Yes.
Why? Because we are the called out ones.
Yes.
We are the separated ones. That's what the word church means. Iglesia in the Greek means called out ones. We've been separated by God. And John the Baptist developed his calling by living a separated life. He developed himself through the help of God to be a mighty preacher and a mighty leader.
Amen.
Now, to be honest, this might be the year. To be honest, this might not be the year that you see that success you want to see. But it could be the year you discover your purpose.
Amen.
It could be the year you develop that purpose.
Yes.
See, I remember those years for me. I look back and remember they weren't easy, but they were necessary.
Yes.
The years I did in prison wasn't easy, but they were necessary.
Right, amen.
The year I spent in the Victory Home.
Yeah.
Oh, come on now.
Amen.
Where's the homes at?
Yes.
It wasn't easy, but it was necessary because God was preparing me.
Amen, amen, amen.
Then the 6 years in the second phase.
Woo.
Oh, it was the second phase in the house, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, one. Amen. Don't be ashamed, brother. Come on now. You're almost there. You got 3, I think. I did 6 years in the second phase. But listen, God was preparing me. God was preparing me. It was during those times God was developing me. It was during those times that he was developing me into that man of God, into that leader God had called me to be. Listen, every great leader will have years of silence and obscurity before that breakout hello season. Before your breakout hello season, listen, you got to know you're going to have some years of silence. You're going to have some years of obscurity. But if you never develop yourself spiritually, mentally, and physically, you can miss God's breakthrough season for your life. I don't want to miss my season. Tell your neighbor, I don't want to miss my season. Listen, in those years of obscurity for me, I developed myself through lots of prayer and fasting. You want to know how I stayed a successful single? Come on now. And what do I consider a successful single? A successful single is one who doesn't like to mingle.
Come on.
I don't care what Christian Mingle says.
Come on now.
I rebuke that.
Yeah.
Huh? I was a successful single. Come on now. Huh? My wife was a successful single. Come on now. Huh? Oh, that's the church phone. Amen. But if it ain't in Jesus, don't answer it. Amen. But listen, I separated myself during those years.
Come on now.
And listen, and during those years, I developed myself, you know, through lots of prayer and fasting. And you know how I became a successful single? Through lots of prayer and fasting.
Come on.
Yeah. Oh, come on. And lots of cold showers.
Come on now.
Oh, come on now.
Amen.
Come on. Lots of prayer and fasting, lots of cold showers. And I don't like cold showers. That's my wife. I like hot showers. Huh? Lots of prayer, but it was through prayer and fasting that God started preparing me. Another way I prepared myself by getting myself into VETI.
Yes.
To the Victory Education Training Institute. I became a student of the Word of God. I became a student of ministry.
Yes.
And listen, it was during those years that God was preparing me. I got myself in VETI. I registered for every class.
Yes.
My motto was not to miss a class. Come on, somebody.
Oh, yeah.
My motto was to graduate.
Yeah.
And listen,
yes.
I was the first graduate of Victory Outreach Dallas. Come on, somebody.
Hey.
And I was a young minister, a young leader. But I was like a pit bull on a pork chop with my calling. I was like a pit bull on a pork chop with a vision. I was like a pit bull in a pork. I said, man, I ain't gonna let go. When I find something good, I know I have found something good in the calling of God. I know I found something good when I came to Victory Outreach. I know I found something good when I ran into my pastors. And so I grabbed a hold of it and I locked on and I held on and I held on. And God prepared me to be the man that I am today. Prepared myself by following my leaders and following and serving my pastor.
Amen.
I was preparing myself by being a good follower to my leaders. Being a good servant.
Yeah.
Huh? Knowing how to be a servant.
We need
people that prepare themselves by learning how to be a servant in the house of God.
Right.
Whatever they asked me to do, they asked me to be an usher at the front door. I ushered the front door. They asked me to be a greeter. I was a greeter in the house of the Lord. One time they asked me to be in the choir. And then after that, they never asked me again. And I was mad because I wanted to sing to the Lord.
Come on now.
Huh? I did what they'd ask me. They put me in the back with the children. They say, hey, we want you to teach in the children's ministry. We're short on teaching. We want you to. I said, okay, amen. Put me back there. And I started teaching the kids, children in the children's ministry. Not because I was a professional at that, because I was a servant.
Yes, there it is. Amen.
Huh? I prepared myself by keeping myself pure.
Amen.
John developed himself by separating himself. He separated himself in the wilderness.
Right. Yeah, did.
See, the wilderness to some of you might be the men's home. The women's home.
Hey.
Oh, come on, somebody.
Yeah.
Huh? John the Baptist, he separated himself in the wilderness. He got away from all his family, from all the hustle and bustle, from Jerusalem. He separated himself. He probably looked at the city and said, man, the city is full of hypocrisy, full of sin. He said, I got to get out of this place. I got to separate myself. He separated himself in the wilderness. He also separated himself through prayer and fasting. The Bible says all he ate was locusts and wild honey.
My God.
Locusts and wild honey. Grasshoppers. Come on, somebody. Huh? Thank God we ain't on the John the Baptist fast.
Come on now.
Huh? Then he separated himself in being different than the world. The Bible says that he dressed in camel's hair. Camel's hair. Come on now. Huh? Listen, you know why? Because he didn't want to blend in when he knew God had called him to stand out. Why do we always want to blend in? Come on, somebody. Church, God has called us to be a light on the hill. God has called us to stand out. God has called us to be the salt of the earth.
Yeah.
He stood out. And lastly, he prepared himself by defining his mission. By defining his mission and vision and defining his philosophy of ministry. In other words, what does this mean? He prepared himself by having a plan and executing that plan. Amen. Do you have a plan this year?
Yes. Come on. Amen.
Somebody once said, failure to plan is planning to fail. Failure to plan is planning to fail. I don't know about you, but I never heard of a little kid when they're asked, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they answer, I want to be a failure. I never heard that.
Come on.
But sadly, we don't teach our kids to plan for the future.
Ooh, preach it.
Somebody once said this, we can't always, you know, provide a future for our children. But we can prepare our children for the future.
Amen.
And when we teach our children about God and we disciple them to the Lord, we're preparing them for the future. Because I don't care what comes their way in the future. As long as they have God, they'll stand their ground. They'll make it through every storm and every fiery trial the enemy takes them through. John the Baptist was ready for his mission. He was ready for the calling because he defined his mission. He defined his vision. He defined his philosophy of ministry. How do I know this? Because of what Mark chapter 1 verses 4 through 8 says. Listen to it. Mark chapter 1 verse 4 through 8. It says John did baptize in the wilderness. John did baptize in the wilderness. In other words, he knew what he had to do. He had to baptize. It says, and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and of Jerusalem. All the people from Judea and Jerusalem started coming to him. It says, and all were baptized of him in the river of Jordan, confessing their sins. And John was clothed with camel's hair and with a girdle of a skin about his loins. And he did eat locusts and wild honey and preach, saying, there cometh one mightier than me after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. See, his plan was to preach repentance of sins. Baptize all those that did repent of their sins. And to prepare the people by also preaching and teaching of the one who was to come after him, the Messiah. This was his mission. If John was living today, this would have been his mission statement. His mission statement would be to preach repentance of sins and the coming of the Messiah and to baptize in water for the remission of sins. That would be John the Baptist's mission statement if he was living today. We have a mission statement in Victory Outreach. It could put it on the screen. We have a mission statement. We're a vision-driven ministry. We're a mission. We're not a fly-by-night ministry.
Right.
I know you may see just a few of us here today, but listen, we've been around for a long time. We've been around for over 50 years, and we know what God has called us to do as a mission, as a people.
Yeah.
And we have a clear-cut mandate from God. Given to our founders, Pastor Sonny, passed down to our elders, passed down to our regional pastors, passed down to us here today. What is our mission statement? It says it right there. Victory Outreach is an international, not just local. We're international, baby.
Amen.
We're all over the world. We're global. We're global. We're not a small ministry on the corner. We're global. This is why Magali's going to the UTC Panama.
Amen.
Jeanette, when she graduates, she's going to go to the UTC. Amen. By then, she's praying that the UTC Europe will be open.
Amen.
Don't get me wrong. We got a lot of churches in Europe. We got a lot of churches in Africa right now. But we're still launching out urban training centers. This is what it says. Victory Outreach is an international church-oriented Christian ministry called to the task of evangelizing and discipling the hurting people of the world with the message of hope and plan of Jesus Christ.
Right.
This call involves a commitment to plant and develop churches and training sinners in strategic cities of the world. You know that when the elders wrote this, we didn't even have UTCs. But yet through the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit led them to put training centers in the mission statement. And we had yet had any training centers. Don't tell me God ain't leading this ministry. Don't tell me God ain't leading the way. It says Victory Outreach inspires and instills within people the desire to fulfill their potential in life with a sense of dignity, belonging, and destiny. I hope this morning you leave inspired to accomplish the will of God. I hope you leave this place inspired to be all that God called you to be. To fulfill your destiny in Him. And then Victory Outreach works cooperatively with others of mutual purpose in accomplishing the task before us. We know that we're not the only ministry. If anybody wants to help, if they're going down the same path, they can get on board. This is why even like Brother Joel has a ministry. He does Big Love Ministries. And he partners with us.
Yeah.
Partners with us. And we welcome that.
Yeah.
Because that's what we're about. We're about reaching the churches out of darkness in prison. Different people. They have Sister Jen has a ministry. Her Future Matters. You know? And we partner with them. They had their first event here. She reaches out to broken women that have been battered and abused. Now, that's not what we're all about. We're not just all about prison. We're not just all about Her Future Matters. Why? We're a church. We're a ministry. We're about young people, too. We're about the drug addicts, too. We're about the Victory Homes, too. We're about the worship, too. We're about a choir, too. We're about life groups, too. We're about world missions, too.
Amen.
We're a well-rounded ministry.
Right.
Because we partner with people.
Now,
sometimes people we partner with, is not everything reflects. Come on, somebody. Like they say, remember like they say on the TV, all the views reflected on this show is not a direct reflection of Channel 11, right? Come on now. Huh? And sometimes it's like that when we partner with people. Of course, we use a lot of wisdom on how we do it. But I say this to say we have a mission.
Right.
Amen. It's been defined. It's been defined, my friend. It's clear cuts. We ain't got a guess. This is a defined mission and vision God has given us. God has made it easier for us today because we don't have time to waste. Today more than ever, the church must know its purpose, its vision, and mission so we can go forth with confidence and the power of God to accomplish this task before us. For going on 19 years, I've been pursuing this mission and vision. And it's been exciting and worth every sacrifice and every effort. As exciting as it is to say hello to your destiny, calling, and great purpose God has for you, you also must be willing to hold things lightly. I like to liken our Christian calling to a relay race, where in order to finish the race, you must pass down the baton to your partner and your team player that's before you. And everybody wants to be the one that crosses the finish line. But listen, let me tell you, it doesn't matter if you're the one that crosses the finish line.
Right.
The only thing that matters is that you cross the finish line and we all win. And I like to liken our Christian calling and our Christian life as a relay race.
Good,
a baton that needs to be passed down. A baton that needs to be passed down. You can't pass it down. You can't pass it down. Somebody don't let go of it.
Come on. That's good.
You have a pastor that's willing to let go of the baton. I'm running my hardest, man. Because I'm in it to win it.
That's right.
I'm in it to win. I didn't get saved. I didn't get saved to let God down. I let God down too many times in the past. I didn't get saved to let God down. After all He's done for me, after everything that He saved me from, when I got saved, I said, God, I knew what I was when I wasn't a Christian. I knew what it was without You. I knew I was messed up. But God still said, I'll use you. I
got a plan for you. I got a purpose for you. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to use you to reach your homeboys and people that were just like you. You know what God was doing? He was passing the baton. But he said, I got to prepare you. I got to equip you. So I need you to turn yourself into prison. And when you get out, I need you to check yourself into that victory home. Because I got a purpose for you there.
Amen.
And I don't need you to leave that home. I need you to finish. I need you to graduate.
Amen.
And when you graduate, I need you to get in the church. I need you to get close to your pastor and get close to your leaders. Yes. I need them to disciple you. I need them to train you. I need you to rub shoulders with them because I need what's on them to come on what's on you.
Amen.
And my pastors see me. My leaders see me. They begin to pass the baton. They begin to pass the baton. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. He passed down the baton. He passed down the mantle of ministry. He passed down the cloth to our Savior. Oh, I love my Jesus. I love Jesus. Because in everything, he's such a great example.
That's right.
Even in submission, he allowed himself to be passed the baton when he was the baton.
Amen.
When he was the baton. How dare us not want to be discipled? How dare us not want to submit under leadership? How dare us when our Savior himself submitted himself and received the baton from John the Baptist. But I thank God that John the Baptist was humble enough to let go of the baton.
Amen.
To say, I must decrease,
yes,
that he must increase.
Hallelujah.
In 2019, the key to success for many of you is to decrease that he may increase. You're going to say hello to a lot of good things, but there's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to let go of. There's going to be a lot of things you're going to have to say goodbye to. If you want to find success in God, if you're going to fulfill your purpose and your calling in life, you're going to have to learn to say goodbye to a lot of things that have been holding you back. And in doing so, you're going to decrease. But you know what? It's okay, because he's going to increase in your life. The Bible says that Jesus said of John the Baptist, those born of women, there has been no one born greater than John the Baptist. But he says, but even the least of these can be greater than him. Can be greater than him. I want you to stand to your feet here this morning. I want you to get that in your spirit here this year. Decrease that he may increase. Say hello to some good stuff. Say hello to finding your purpose. Say hello to defining your mission. Say hello to a lot of great things, the blessings of God. But say goodbye to the flesh. John the Baptist, you know why it was easy for John the Baptist to decrease and to say goodbye to stuff? Because he lived that life. He lived a fasted life. He separated himself in the wilderness. He said goodbye to the city life. I'm not saying for you to go move out, you know, to Timbuktu and stuff. You know, we're not monks, you know. We need to reach the city. But we need to be in the midst of the city. We need to be in the world, but not of the world.
Amen.
Because God has called us to reach the world. And I believe this morning, God has a calling for many of your lives. Everybody here got a calling for your life. But you got to answer that call. You got to answer that call. And God's call for your life is a beautiful one. As your head is bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for those right now that you've been ministering to. This whole preaching, God. This whole service, you've been dealing with them. They've been hearing from you. They never heard anything like it. Not because I'm a good preacher, no. But because you're speaking. You're speaking to them. You have chosen them. You have highlighted them. And I pray, God, that this morning that they would respond to your call. Let them respond to your call. This morning, I want to pray for you. There's some of you here that God is tugging at your heart. God has been dealing with you, God. Even right now, you feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. You feel a little uneasy inside. You feel stirring inside.